got me there for a while, but I'm on the improving list, I hope and pray, and I'll continue to be able to preach the gospel, because that's what I love to do more than anything else. And so I always look forward to coming here and everywhere in the locality and gospel meetings through the years. I've been around a lot of different places and always look forward to returning. I stay busy in television work and radio work and visiting people in our area there where we live, trying to do all that we can while we can, like everybody else, doing the best of our ability. And we hope and pray that we can have a gospel meeting this week that will challenge me and challenge you and make all of us realize how blessed we are, and that we live from day to day through the providence of Almighty God. And we can leave here in a fraction of a second, or the Lord can leave us here for a long period of time. So let's be busy and active, involved in the Lord's work to the very best of our ability. And one day we can step up on that beautiful shore in that city whose foundation and builder and maker is Almighty God. Thank you for coming tonight. Open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. I'm going to read more verses than I usually do in the text, but I want you to turn and read all of this chapter, because I didn't see any bad things in it. I saw only good things we need to be doing to please God as we study the subject together. A question: where are our affections? By the way, we tell on ourselves by the answer we'll give to this question. And of course, the answer we'll give is our lives. How have we lived our lives? Have our affections been on Christ and the gospel and God Almighty and helping other people and loving people and being kind to people and forgiving people? Or have they been on our own agenda in life instead of being what God wants us to be? So Colossians chapter 3, from the pen of the great apostle Paul, as he wrote this letter to the church at Colossae, and of course to every congregation of the Lord's people from that time forward. He says a very important thing in his very first verse. When we get done reading, we'll come back and make some observations about this. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah for that. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Put them off, says. And I put on, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put on the old man with his deeds, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, now get that, after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And it means just what it says, all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved vows of mercies and kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Amen. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, which is the church, of course, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, be not bitter against them. Amen. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing of the Lord. Amen again. Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do in heart, do it heartily to the Lord and not to men. Amen again. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong, and get this, nail it down, shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. God is no respecter of persons. We must yield our will to him. We don't have any special objectives we can attain unless we do it through God Almighty himself. Doesn't matter what our last name is, which side of the tracks we grew up on. No matter how much money we got in the bank or what our occupation might be, God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10, 34 and 35, of a truth I perceive. The word perceive means to understand or to know that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, not just a few nations, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness, that's what we're talking about in this chapter. That's the ones that please the sight of God. He that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Those who do not fear God or work righteousness will be unaccepted with him. Now that's just plain talk. It's easy understood. Just get down the business, down the nitty-gritty, as the Bible teaches us to do, and preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. God demands our affection toward him first, not leftover affection. Get that. Get it between your eyes, above your ear, let it saturate, dominate, and infiltrate, penetrate the very depths of our souls. God wants us to listen and obey what he says to do. Don't try to compromise on what God says to do. Don't add to and don't take from. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. If we add to, we'll add the plague written in this book to our lives. If we take away, we'll take a part out of the book of life, now the holy city, and the things which are written in this book. So where are our affections? We have to put him first above everything else. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first, number one now, not leftovers. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things he wants us to have, the necessity of life, put him first, and it's ours. That's a promise from God. It cannot fail. Put him first, and he will take care of us. We'll do what he says to do. That's a challenge. If we got the backbone, the courage, and the determination to do that, or we just want to slag along behind, you know. Let's stand firm on God's word, do what it says, and we'll receive the benefit, you see. Then the Bible teaches us in John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans 5:8, for God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What's that say? When we were helpless, lost, gloom and doom, not a ray of light, no hope or possibility of ever being rescued. He sent his Son to suffer and to bleed and to die, which the world was not worthy, the Bible teaches. So think about that. So in Romans 5 and verse 8, God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Corinthians 13:13, now by the faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now faith and hope are great, they're wonderful. But charity is the greatest. And when you stop and think about it, who's the one is the most charitable of all is God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Ghost came to guide the apostles into all truth to reveal these words to connect us all together in a way that we can all comprehend and that we can all understand, you see. In John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But he not only laid down his life for his friends, he laid down his life for his enemies. He loved the world, the whole world. He did not exclude anybody, period. God does not show affection to one group of people over another, not regardless of the color of our skin, our education, our background. We need to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. That's what the Bible teaches. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. And so we need to recognize and understand that, that God, as we said before, is no respecter of persons. In John 15:14, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now that's all challenges right there. And if we don't do what that says, then we can't love God, you see. So if we love him, keep his commandments. Are we his friend? Then do what he tells us to do. And Jesus tells in the 15th chapter of John, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. It's not a suggestion, neighbors and friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's, ladies and gentlemen, it is a binding truth. God absolutely says it. And that's what we've got to do. Just what he says to do. Back again. Don't add to and do not take from what God says. Because we do, we're going to be in trouble. Already in trouble now, whether we know it or not, are going to be in big, big trouble we can't get out of when we stand before the great judgment seat of Christ. So charity covers a multitude of sins. Turn with us to 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, from the pen of the Apostle Peter, as he wrote these words. He says, 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. Above all things, have fervent charity. He didn't say charity, he said fervent. That's intensified. 2 Peter 3 says the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. That's intensified heat to the greatest degree that we can even begin to imagine. And so he says, but he says now, at the end of all things at hand, be therefore sober, watch unto prayer. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. And since we've all got a multitude of them, we better be doing a whole lot more charity than we've been doing, don't you think? You think anything better to do than to be charitable? You know, during this pandemic, I think we've been taught a lesson about charity that we've never learned before. And places I've been recently, people are responding to the invitation more than they have prior to the pandemic. I was up at Russell Springs, Kentucky, the first time this year on Sunday and Sunday night. Sunday morning had a good crowd, good audience. And Sunday night, an excellent crowd. People come and visit from different places. And during that weekend meeting, we baptized a young couple who had been attending services at Old Athens Church, where I grew up when I was a boy. I preach every second Sunday. Then we met with Eubank over on Monday. Make television programs each time, second Monday in every month. And so they've been going there, and I put them on a Bible course, and they've had a couple Bible courses, and made 100 on each one of them. And so they came that night, and then after services, I didn't notice she was under a lot of conviction during the invitation, but she didn't respond. But after service, I made contact with her, and her and her husband came inside, and we talked in the building for a few moments, and they both wanted to obey the gospel, and so we made plans right then. And my brother had a key to the Athens Church building, where they got a baptistry there, and so he went up there to unlock the building, and before we could do all of that. And so we baptized them two that night, and then I came back home from Kentucky. And then about 2 days later, I was out in the garden doing some work, and I got another telephone call and said, well, there's two more that wants to be baptized. And I said, but you can wait till tomorrow. I said, no, I can't wait till tomorrow. I'm on my way in a few minutes. I said, give me time to get to the house and get some clean clothes on, and I'll be back up there as soon as I can get there. So I went up there. Went to another congregation there who had it all set up, and several brothers and sisters came over from different congregations to be with us, and that encouraged us, of course, too. And then we had one rededication, and then at Woodbury recently, a sermon, when he gave the invitation, well, some people have been coming from Lebanon, Tennessee to worship with us for a while, new people. We're always welcome new people, of course, any people can come. And the lady came forward during the service and rededicated her life. And then we had three of our regular members who came forward and rededicated their lives. So that was four there. So give God the glory. Hallelujah. The gospel still has the power to save souls if people yield their will to God's will. And you know, old Paul, he talked about his travels and told them what happened and transpired on those journeys when he went to preach the gospel from church to church and place to place and set up new congregations, and he get that congregation established well with deacons and elders and Bible teachers, then move on him and Timothy and Titus to establish other congregations. And that's why you read about all the different local congregations here in the New Testament, you see. That's where it started, and that's how it keeps growing. And so each one teaching one, and the Judean church make known the manifold wisdom of God, not man-made institutions. That's what I preach all the time, and a lot of people don't like what I say, but that's the facts. The church is to instituted church to make known the manifold wisdom of God. So we got to be busy doing the things, and I wanted to rehearse some of those things and give God the glory, because that's who deserves the glory, the praise, and the honor. So he says here in 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, then he says, charity cover multitude of sin. Verse 9, use hospitality to one to another without grudging. And every man hath received the gift, even so many from the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do his ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever and ever. And so we need to realize the importance of being busy and showing our effect where our affections are. If we're concerned about souls, obviously we're out trying to win souls. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. How wise are we? How many souls have we won? Now, that's something to think about. Toss that out, no extra charges. Got to make us think about what we're doing or not doing. And as we said before, we tell on ourselves about what our affections are or not. If we're in the wrong direction, then they're displeasing to God. If they're in the right direction, they're pleasing to God. We'll continue emphasizing those things, the importance of regularity in worship, and doing all the things we need to please God. And the word worship, of course, means adoration and glorifying and magnifying God Almighty as we worship and we adore. And the beautiful hymn we sang so many times, oh, come let us adore him. Come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Adoration. We need adoration. Adore those who are that worthy of being adored and glorified and magnified. And that's a great thing to talk about. And so he says then, the importance of this text that we read in Colossians chapter 1 talks about being risen with Christ. Being risen with Christ. And of course, when you've been risen with Christ, that means you've obeyed the gospel, you've been added to the church, you're a member of the church, and now you need to have your affections on things above and not on things on this earth. As he says here, let's go back to Colossians 3 again, about verses 1 through 3 at least, maybe more if we think necessary. If you then be risen with Christ, he puts a question to them, now, have you really been risen with Christ? Think about this. Seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So if we've really been risen with Christ, we're seeking those things above, not things down here below. Now let's get that between our eyes and above our ears, and let us realize the importance of that. So set your affection on things above. Immediately after being risen with Christ, that's after you hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you repent of your sins, you confess Christ, public before men, you're buried, your Lord in baptism, you're then risen with Christ. And then you're able to walk in Christ, with Christ, and for Christ, you see. Until that happens, you have not been risen with Christ. You have died the love and practice of sin, that's repentance. And you made that sweet confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You've been buried with the Lord in baptism, baptized into Christ, and you put on Christ. Galatians 3:26-27. You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. When you're baptized into him, you put him on. And you can't get into him without the final act of baptism. That nails it down pretty close, doesn't it? And so then if you've been written, he says, well, you challenge him now. Now that you've been risen with Christ, what are you going to do next? How are you going to work in the Lord's vineyard? Stay busy. Be involved. There's so many things that we can do. Lead song, lead singing, lead in prayer. Visit the sick. Do a lot of good things, you see. Just be busy in. It's better to wire out than to rust out, and quitters never win, and winners never quit. So let's just keep on keeping on each and every step of the way. And let's get busy more and more every single day in the service of God. And if you then be risen with Christ, there are lots of things you're going to have to shun and stay away from and stay clear of. And in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, let's turn to notice what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. In other words, some of you now that are in Christ, you've been risen with Christ, you used to be in this company, but no longer. And such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah.
They've been cleaned up. They've been cleaned up with the blood of Christ. They've yielded their will to God's will. And they no longer walk in those darkness walks, you see. They're in the light of God. And it's like that beautiful hymn we sang, walk in the light of God, perfect light of God. And so if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin, 1 John 1:7 tells us. And so we got to walk in the light and to remain in the light and stay in the light, because if we don't, we're in darkness. And we'll get over our head before we know it. Darkness. But when you turn on the light, did you ever notice you go in a building that's absolutely dark as a dungeon, and you flip the light switch, the dark has to leave. It doesn't. You can't stay. Light always dominates darkness. See? But there's so much darkness in the world, as prayed in our prayer a few moments ago. But the cure for worldly living is read and study your Bible and live it every day. That's the strongest thing we can do right there. Every single day. You stand firm on the truth. Don't back up. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. Go straight down the line just the way the Bible teaches. And just be busy doing that all the time. That's what we need to be doing. Galatians 5:19-21 is some more passages that we want to read very quickly here. Galatians 5:19-21 from the pen of the Apostle Paul, as he wrote the church at Galatia. And we are familiar with these passages. But I'm going to turn. I can probably quote it maybe, but I want to turn and read it so we can make sure that we all get it down between our eyes above our ears, so to speak. Galatians 5:19 beginning, and the scripture has this to say. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which means made known, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, such like, of which I tell you before, and told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the opposite, when you turn on the light, darkness has to leave. That the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That means self-control. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ, if you're Christ, you're risen with Christ, if you're a child of God, you got your affection on things above, and they that are Christ are crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking, that means stimulating or activating one another, envying one another. We can't do that. We've got to put that behind us, you see. Another place is that they think it's strange you run not with them the same excessive advice, speaking evil of you. You know, people obey the gospel and say, well, you used to drink party with us, boys. What happened to you? Have you got religion or what is? You got something that we don't have. I'm sorry, fellas, I can't hang out with you no more. I can't drink any whiskey you hear. I can't go in the house of ill repute and all that blood stuff. I can't do any of that. Why? I've been washed. I've been made clean. My affections are not what they used to be like you have now. My affections are on things above, not down here. And just think, during the pandemic, I mean, just say this and get right way back off. Some of the worst things that people couldn't do, they couldn't go to the bars and set up and get a little big drunk. That's what they want to open. Open the bars back up. They ought to close them all down permanently forever. What they ought to do. But they won't. Because that's not what people want. They want the world and everything in it. And a lot of folks don't want to have nothing to do with the Bible. Think about all the people that go to church. Then think about all the people that never darken the door of a church building. The atheists, the infidels, and so forth. And our schools have gone to the dog, and they're teaching principles that contrary to the Bible everywhere. We've got to stand on the Bible. We've got to stand on the Bible together. And, you know, the first book, textbook in the school was the Bible, you know that. Far from it today. They don't want nothing taught about the Bible. They don't want anything taught about the Bible. Because they have other agendas. We want to do what the Bible says to do. And we're not trying to make a name for ourselves or do anything to get any recognition. We want God to get the recognition. That's why we're sticking to his word and doing exactly what his word says to do. And that's what we're going to continue to do, God being our helper. And the Bible warns what's going to happen to us if we don't do what God says. Hebrews 10:22-31. Hebrews 10:22-31. Turn with me while I'm turning right now. Verse 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart Now, if you got your affection set on things above, what kind of heart you gonna have? You're gonna have a true heart. See, y'all comes right back to it. Let's draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, not missing anything, in totality. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast, that means cling to, never turn loose, never let go, the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another provoking to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together to manner some is, and that was then, they are now. But exhorting, building each other up, encouraging each other, one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, implying it's a willful sin to do that, which he says don't do. For if we sin willfully, like that we receive the knowledge of the truth, that remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment, fire, and indignation, which shall devour the adversary. He despised Moses' law, died without mercy unto two or three witnesses, of a much sore punishment, more intensified. Suppose you shall be worthy. You have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the covenant on the holy thing, which you're sanctified, and done despite the Spirit of grace. We know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and it does. I will recompense, I'll repay them, I'll let them pay. I'll recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Who? His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't know part of that. Believe you me. Just read it. Comment on it. Think about it. And get an idea of doing what he says to do. Don't waste any time. We don't have a minute to waste. Because time is running out every single day. And Hebrews 12:29, going along with Hebrews 10:31, said, God is a consuming fire. Think of that. God is a consuming fire. Among other many things that we can't even begin. We can't get a trickle compared to what is right there. If you then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above and not on things on this earth. That's the thing we need to be busy doing. Setting our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Because we're dead. We die the love and practice of sin. Your life is hid with Christ in God. We sang that song, oh, hide you in the blood. Hide you in the blood of Jesus. There it is. It's all through the Bible. It's everywhere. Just keep looking. Keep reading. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we all go appear with him in glory. Mortify, crucify, get rid of, remove. Therefore, you remember which are upon the earth, all these ungodly things we done for you. You know, we need to drive them home even more because wickedness is dominating the world scene right now, friends. Wickedness. And so we need to preach and teach and proclaim the Word of God boldly and simply and plainly in a way that people can comprehend and understand. You mean I can't be loving the world? Brother, we don't know. 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and is not the father of the world. And the world passes away in lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Notice, doeth, action involvement. Doeth the will of God abide forever. We know that's right. We know nobody can destroy that. That's God's word. So let's be busy doing those things. And let's not slack off. Let's just move on up. So, don't love the world. Neither things are in the world. We may love the world, love the Father. All is in the world, in a nutshell, is the lust of the flesh, the appetite of the flesh, your body. The lust of the eye. You know, eyes have been said to be the windows of the soul. Watch out what you look at with your eyes for a long period of time. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. There's not a good word in the Bible about pride, but it is short to me before the week's over. Pride goes before a fall. God resists the proud. He gives more grace to the humble. Many other passages. Humility is the way to go with God. And he'll go with you. If you lift yourself up, he'll bring you down. Exalt yourself, you'll be abased, made low. But if you made low and humble yourself, you'll be exalted in due time. Didn't say overnight, did he? He promises he'll keep his promise. Just keep hanging on our path and doing what God says. And he'll bless you in so many ways you can't count your blessings. Count your blessings, the song says. Name them one more. Count your many blessings. See what God is doing. That's what we need to be busy doing. Every single day, count your blessings. But I don't think they make a computer, Brother Tony, to count that many, do you? I don't think so. God Almighty is the computer of all computers, divine computer, so to speak. Not a computer, but he's the eternal God of heaven, you see. He's in charge. And make no mistake about it, he's going to stay in charge too. So recognize that. In 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How much of it? All of it. Cast all your care upon him. Most of us cast it all upon ourselves, don't we? Think we can handle it all. No. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Matthew 16:26, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 6:19-21, let out of yourself treasure upon this earth, for moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where the moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Show me a man's treasure, and I'll show you every time, not every other time, where his heart is, because that's what goes with it, your heart. And you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. The second commandment, like none of this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22:37-38. So what does that tell us? Let's just recognize what God says, what God is, and what God does. And he'll do just exactly that. And we're going to have to answer if we don't do that. And we can hear all the sermons we want to hear, but if we don't yield to God's will, we still be dying and be lost. Go to hell if we don't obey God. This is serious business. I mean dead serious. If I said it's more serious than a heart attack, that's a minor thing compared to this. Don't even think about that. Don't make no comparisons like that. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, level-headed, good judgment, good common sense. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, vigilant, watchful, alert, and on guard. Walk about seeking whom he may devour, you see. He's after people, he's trying to destroy people, he's trying to wipe people out. And he's doing a pretty good job, too, isn't he? Think about it. In Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that means I implore you, I entreat you, I encourage you. Last but not least, it means I'm literally begging you to do this. If you do a lot of word study, you'll find that's the truth too. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Can we do anything without it? That you offer or present your bodies a living sacrifice. We are to make our bodies living sacrifices for the Lord. How many of us do that? If I would say, ask for hope. Raise the hands, everybody doing that. I wouldn't wait to count the hands, would you? I don't think it'd be anybody's hand to go up. Let's think about it. We may think ourselves more highly of what to think, but the Bible warns us not to do that. We realize how weak we are and frail we are, and pray without ceasing. And that's what we need to be busy doing all the time, constantly thinking about what God wants us to do. The way we ought to be living as we travel down here below in time. Swiftly passes from me and from you. And so, obey the gospel and live a faithful Christian life. That's the only way. And God gave us a demonstration of his love when he sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross, did he not? In 2 Corinthians 8:9, from the pen of the Apostle Paul, let's notice what he said. 2 Corinthians 8:9, as Paul wrote his second letter to the church at Corinth, and he wrote 13 books at least of the New Testament, but 14 of Hebrews, if he's the writer of Hebrew, we don't know for sure, many think he is, but at least he wrote 13 books of the New Testament, and so we need to recognize the importance of the weight that he shared with us when we study and meditate and ponder on these beautiful passages of Scripture from time to time, 2 Corinthians 8:9, and the Bible has this to say, for ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he's already rich now. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now just think about it. Just think about the scene on Golgotha's Hill, the place of the skull. Just visualize in your mind an old rugged cross on his back. Think of that. Nail of that cross. An old rugged cross on his back and a crown of thorns pressed into his brow here, to his head, you see. And the whole human race on his mind while he was dying. Thank you. You talk about a masterpiece, that's it, friends. That is it. Old rugged cross on his back, crown of thorns on his head, and the whole world on his mind. I'm dying for the whole world. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Pentecost, that was fulfilled over every degree right there. Everybody who obeys the gospel will be fulfilled again. So that's a powerful thing just to think about. Meditate upon it. Blows your mind to think about how much he loves us. God's greatest gift. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 through 19. Let's look at that right now. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 19. Page apart here. We can start together on it. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 19. Watch ye, that means observe, be on the alert, be on guard. Stand fast, that means cling to, hold on to, never turn loose, never let go. Stand fast. That's what we need to be doing, it standing fast.
Verse 13.
Stand fast in the faith. Not just stand fast here, but stand fast in what? The faith. The faith. There is one faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Ephesians 4, 3 through 6. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, which you like men, be strong. That all your things be done with charity. There's that charity again. That's the greatest now. To everything you do, do it with charity. I beseech you, I implore you, entreat you, I encourage you, brethren, and I beg you. Ye know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's one addiction, brothers and sisters, that we all need to have. Is an addiction to the ministry of the saints. That's the kind of addict we need to be. That's a good thing. Look at all the bad ones. Now you see why they didn't. You see Bill Jr., why they didn't have so much success. They was addicted. They really believed and practiced what they preached. They did. They demonstrated. And it's like when Paul went on his missionary journey. Who did he pick to go with him? He picked Timothy, didn't he? Why did he pick Timothy? Because Timothy had a mother and a grandmother that was addicted to the ministry of the saints. Why? Yeah. Because they taught Timothy. Only thing he says about his father was he was a Greek. That's all it says. I don't know if he's a traveling salesman, that ain't none of my business, whatever it is. But he wasn't there. They were. And Paul talks about those women that labored with him in the gospel, you see. Lydia, she opened her house. Come in here and abide. And she insisted on it. A lot of people, they say, oh, what do all those men do over that one woman? And they ought to be saying, well, there's a great woman of God. She was a sales lady. She was a seller of purple. Lydia was. Don't know if she's ever married. Don't say yay or nay. I'm sure about her household, but that could be a different thing. We don't know for sure. Doesn't matter. She had a house. She must have been pretty well to do. And there's gospel preachers traveling. They're hungry. They're tired. They got to have somewhere to sleep. And they got somewhere to live. She assisted them in preaching the gospel. She was just as much a part of the preaching the gospel as she'd been out there herself, which she couldn't have done, according to the Bible. Publicly, but still, they were a great part of that, though. I guarantee you. The women labored in the gospel. Yes. Lydia. Dedicating the Lord's work. Plenty of women in the Bible are dedicated to the Lord's work, and that's a great thing. That's the greatest thing there is. And we got to work together. We got to solve all of our problems and our differences some way. I don't know how. I don't have all the answers. They're all in the book. But let's do that and get together on what the Bible says and move forward and onward and upward and don't slow down. Just keep moving. Stay in the groove. Don't go to the right and don't go to the left. Don't compromise, suit nobody for anything. Just stand firm. He gave us a demonstration of love here on the cross, describing the thing we just talked about. Well, just about coming to the close of our lesson tonight, but before we do, I want to tell you about one more fellow that he didn't have the right attitude, he didn't live his life the right way, and it cost him his life and his soul. Luke 12:15-21. Prophet said, take heed, beware of covetousness. A man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And he spake a parable about this rich farmer, you know. Well, you got a bumper crop, you know. He said, I'm going to tear down all my barns and build greater barns, and I'll say to my soul, take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry. That's much good to live for many years. If you got time on your own, you go through there and read how many times he mentions the word I in those verses. You get spiritual eye trouble. That's not the kind of these drops, you know, every morning like I use sometimes. You know. That's talking about eye, not drops of God's word. You see. You get spiritual eye trouble. He can see nothing else for himself in the way. A lot of people like me. And the rich man looked at Chick the same way. He had the same problem. He had the same problem. He didn't realize his affection were in the wrong place, both of them. It led him to the wrong eternity direction to forever. So that fellow said, I'll tear down this out. This will I do. I'll tear them on. I'll build them on. I'll say to my soul, take thine easy drink me. That was much good for many years, but God said it to him, thou fool. And when God calls you a fool, you can capitalize every word, every lesson. Because you're a fool. And God don't back down, he said. He called him a fool because of what? Where his affections were. Where were they? In the wrong place. Got him in trouble forever. He'd never get out of it. He couldn't get out of it. No possible way. Waited too long. Too busy enjoying all of his feast and perfumes. Look at me. It's me. I did it. Sorry. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then those things be which thou hast provided. So is he. Anybody that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You can have all the money in the world and die a spiritual pauper, don't you know that? Sure you do. You like the three old Jews, you know, went around with your fellow brothers passed away, lying there in the coffin. One said, look, the other whispered to Jerry, said, wonder how much he left behind. The other said, don't you know, he left it all. That's right. We're going to leave it all to him. But if we've got Christ in our lives, it's just the beginning of forever. Think of it. There's a poem, the beginning of forever. I don't have the name of the time to read it. Anyway, it's a good poem. We need to be busy. The rich man, if he'd listened and helped that poor beggar, but he didn't. The dogs came and licked old Lazarus' sores. You know, they wanted the crumbs off the table. He didn't ask for a big seat at the end of that big long table. You can imagine that how it looked. Like one of these places you pull up, you know, and you got to call in there on the intercom, but we didn't get in on the ground, you know. And then he said, send forth Lazarus, he might dip him his drink of water, cool my tongue, I'm tormented in his flame. He needed the very man that he would refuse to help when he could, and he turned him down. But you know what? He had eternity to regret it. He should have had charity in his heart. See? God says it's great, and it is. And it shows you the dilemma you get in when you don't use it and practice it in your life. And I hope this lesson has been profitable and beneficial to each and every one of us. I got one more thing I want to say just before I give the invitation, and that is this. Where are our affections based on the Bible that we have presented according to what the Bible says? Where are our affections right now based on this evidence? And my last comment will be, feed your faith and your doubts and fears will starve to death. Amen and amen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. If you're driven sick without faith, it's impossible to please him. All that come to God must believe in him. He's one of them that did to seek him. Hebrews 11:1, faith is subject to things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith we understand the world we're framed by the word of God. Feed your faith and your doubts and your fears will starve to death, won't they? Amen. If you're not a Christian tonight, you heard enough gospel to save the world, didn't you? Because you heard faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Okay, you hear it, you believe it. Are you willing to repent? Repent your sins. You believe God's word is higher. And you know what it says to do, because by faith comes by hearing by the word of God. You're ready to repent of your sins. A change of mind, a change of will, which leads to a change of life. I'm not going to live this way or walk this way anymore. I'm tired of this old ungodly life. I'm going to shake the devil off my coattail and I'm going to come to Christ while I've got time and opportunity, before it's eternally too late. I want the assurance of going to heaven. Luke 13:3, now I tell you, except you repent, shall all likewise perish. Acts 17:30, the time of this ignorance God winked up, and now commands all men everywhere to repent. Now he commands repentance of all men everywhere. He winked at ignorance at one time, but not now. Not since Christ died, was buried, and rose. And then to make that sweet confession like the eunuch made in Acts the 8th chapter, when Jesus was preached to him, and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down the water, and Philip baptized him. Never come up out of the water. Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. The eunuch saw no more, and he went on his way rejoicing, because he was risen with Christ at that point, but not before. And you need to be risen with Christ tonight. If you come take a seat here on the front if you need to, that'll be your way of letting us know you want to come home by the gospel. Service tonight, and we'll help you in every way we possibly can. And we'll have you make that confession and baptize you into Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, according to the Bible. You come out that water creek of baptism, go on your way rejoicing, a child of God, a member of the Lord's church. And then you can take up your part in having your affections in the right place, because you've got all the platform, the groundwork, the foundation laid, and you're ready to start building upon that great foundation. One day, step all over that beautiful. You remember the church had been neglectful and lazy and not heartful as you need about doing the work and getting on the job and getting with it and being busy. You brought shame and reproach upon the church because of our negligence. Come back and recommit and rededicate our lives and begin again. Renew our faith in God and put Him first from this day forward. If we confess our sins, He's faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Confess your fault, and when there is a way of you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man of God was James 5:16 and 1 John 1 and verse 9. If you're subject in any way, come. Do it now while we stand, Moses.